The great sage Maitreya continued.
The great sage Maitreya continued.
Thus Sanat Kumar,
the
best of the celibates, after hearing the speech of Prithu Maharaj, which was meaningful, appropriate,
full of precise words,
very sweet to hear,
smiled with full satisfaction.
And began to speak as follows. Prithu Maharaj's talks before the Kumaras were very laudable because of so many qualifications. A speech should be composed of selected words, very sweet to hear and appropriate to the situation. Such speech is called meaningful. All these good qualifications are present in Prithu Maharaj's speech because he is a perfect devotee. It is said, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinchana Sarvaira Gunais Tatra Samasate Sura. For one who has unflinching devotional faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is engaged in His service, all good qualities become manifest in His person. That's from the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, 12th verse. Thus the Kumaras were very much pleased, and Sanat Kumar began to speak as follows. And Sanat Kumar begins speaking in the next verse. Translation again. The great sage Maitreya continued, thus Sanat Kumar, the best of the celibates, after hearing the speech of Prithu Maharaj, which was meaningful, appropriate, full of precise words, and very sweet to hear, smiled with full satisfaction and began to speak as follows. Om Ajnana Tamiradasya Ajnana Tamashavaka Rejection Vidyam Jaitanas Maheshikarve Mukun Karoti Vajjaram Pankar Yad Vatamam Vatamam Shri Guru Vidyatara. This prayer, Mukun Karoti Vajjaram, is a prayer that we often say before speaking, because I know when I recite it, it's a prayer that Prabhupada will help me to remember what he has said. Because you only get to sit in a temple room 6 inches above everybody else if you're prepared to not invent anything, but just repeat what you've heard. That's the deal. That's the deal. And Prabhupada was an excellent speaker. I remember I spent some time with Dhanavir Maharaj, and he used to want to know how Prabhupada's classes were so good, and why they had such an effect. Why was it that at the end of Prabhupada giving a talk, and he would say something like, and then we can all simply go back to home, back to Godhead. And all the devotees at that point, they would go, Jai! And it wasn't that Prabhupada was just saying that slogan and getting an emotional response, but that what he had said during the class was so inspirational, meaningful, appropriate, pleasing, full of precise words, and very sweet to hear, that then at the conclusion, the devotees would run out the door and they would give their life to him, the remainder of their life. So how did he have that effect on people? Well, you could say, well, he's a pure devotee. Okay, well, that's it then. We can't give a class like Prabhupada until we all become absolutely pure. Or you could say that Krishna empowered him. Okay, so none of us can give a class like that until... But here at Bhaktivedanta College, here in the heart of Europe, we come here to learn how to give speeches, how to do all the devotional arts, all the 64 arts, including, for the next few days, congregational development. Now, part of the art is to be able to speak sweetly. And you know when you're in the company of someone who speaks sweetly, because at the end, you become very pleased and you become convinced of about what they're saying. So how did Prabhupada do it? Dhanavir Maharaj wanted to know. So he used to sit analyzing Srila Prabhupada's classes, and he would categorize every statement of Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada did different things. He gave a quote from the Bhagavad Gita, a quote from the Upanishads, a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He told a story. He told a joke. He made a topical reference. He smashed someone. He praised someone. Prabhupada followed the Vedantic way of doing things. You set something up and then you create a doubt. This is an interesting technique that we use in our congregational discussions. See? I can't even stop talking about it in the Bhagavatam class. Because it's a Vedic tradition that within the mind of the audience you create a doubt. Prabhupada did that. And you may be thinking, people, well, no, that's not a fact. Prabhupada only spoke to create conviction. But no, he didn't. Prabhupada would create conviction, and then he would create the doubt, and then he would destroy the doubt. He would say this, 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 and then he would say, some people may say, the materialists, they think, the scientists, they think, this, this, this. Dr. Radhakrishna, in his Bhagavad Gita commentary, he says like this. Mr. Yogi in the Himalayas, he believes that 6 months holding nose, I can become God. And then Prabhupada would take that apart. And by the end of the class, the speakers who had the same doubts as Prabhupada had just revealed, using someone else, I'm going to have to take this off. Delighted as it is. Yeah. He would destroy doubt, not by pointing a finger at you and saying, you have these doubts, don't you? Admit it. Come on. All of you. You all have doubts. That's the equivalent of being chastised publicly for what Prabhupada would do. He would say, some people say, and he would look at his audience, and he would smile. And obviously, you know, he would say, none of you. I know this never crosses your mind. But some people out there in the world, in the material world, they say like this, and then he would destroy it. So this is a Vedantic way of doing it. One speaking technique. You use this in writing. Also, you know, you write in the same way. Shankaracharya says this, and but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this. What is the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take issue with what Shankaracharya has said? Let us see the qualifications of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us see what other great scholars have said. What does Ramanuja say? What does Madhvacharya say? Now you could say, well, we're the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We don't really care so much for Madhvacharya or Ramanujacharya. We don't have to. Why do we have to keep bringing their names up? Because we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's our own sampradaya. No problem there. But in order to destroy the doubt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simply another saint in the history of India, we take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conclusions and we show that Ramanujacharya said the same thing and Madhvacharya said the same thing. Now, how many more acharyas do you want before you can understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the acharya for the remainder of Kali Yuga? Arjuna does the same thing. He doesn't just say, Krishna, you're telling me that you're Krishna. He says, Asita says it, Devala says it, Narada Muni says it. In fact, they all say it, not just me. Because this solidifies Krishna's position. So we bring in another person. So evidence is presented to build something up, and the case against it is presented, and then the case against it is defeated. So you feel convinced once, and then you feel convinced twice. But the conviction that comes after your doubts have been destroyed is conviction plus relief. you feel relieved. You know. And that's when you think, I want to take initiation from this person. That's the most important qualification. He's inspirational. Or now, she's inspirational. And, miss that. Inspirational plus destroying my doubts. These are the two things. I'm learning something, I'm becoming inspired to serve, I'm becoming confident, and my doubts are being destroyed. This is what we look for when we look for a guru. So all these things are being illustrated by Prithu Maharaj, and he was a king. Of course, the king's business, I didn't finish. Prabhupada would relieve the burden that he knew devotees would sometimes go through in listening to him. It is a fact. You know, I was devoted to Prabhupada, but I sat in front of him and I fell asleep. I just didn't have enough sleep that night. It was in India, Mayapur, flies, you know, the whole scene. And so he came, he gave the class, and we usually had to push our way in. See, the American devotees, the American brahmacharis, usually the Radha Damodara party, they would always push their way to the front. And us Europeans, we're just a little bit more gentle than the Americans. So we were... Sorry, are there any Americans? Well, what I actually meant was we're more afraid. They're courageous, they're bold. And Prabhupada wanted the Americans to do great things. Did he say Europeans as well? Maybe the Americans came. So we thought one day we wouldn't put up for this any longer, so we pushed our way to the front. So I pushed my way to the front, and Prabhupada was speaking. You've got to be bold, but you also got to stay awake. So sometimes Prabhupada would see that, you know, for the speaker, he can see when heads are nodding. The person can't see that the speaker can see him, but the speaker can see. So then he tells a story. He says, once upon a time, everybody's heads go like this. It's an amazing device that you use in a speech. He goes, just like there once was a man from Kandahar, which is now in Afghanistan, and he was arrested. He was kidnapped. The residents of Afghanistan, they've always been kidnapping people ever since 5,000 years ago. So he was kidnapped. You see? And now everybody's listening to me. I don't know the story, but I'm just telling you the opening lines. And immediately I've got your attention. And then topical reference, you see. I talked about America, and immediately the Americans in the audience. You see, here in Radhadesh, I'm so far from home. You see, now he's speaking about my country, I'll stay awake for a little bit longer. But we all do that. Because here is something that is attached to my mother, my country, my people, the food I like. You know. And it's not that Prabhupada didn't know that, but he would also work against that as well. He would go all over the world, and wherever he went in the world, he would say, so you American boys and girls, you are meant to do something special for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the best country in the world. This could be the first Krishna-conscious country in the world. And everybody would sit up and jai! Yes, sir! That is all right! Prabhupada, let's go and save the world for Prabhupada. And then he would come to Belgium. And say, this will be the first Krishna-conscious country in the world. I don't know whether he goes. But he would come to England, he would say various things. But then he would also, he couldn't resist crushing the pride of the English. So he would come and he would say things like, so when I saw the River Thames, I had always heard when I was in Calcutta, the River Thames, Queen Victoria, It is the greatest country in the world. We've been in your country for 250 years, the British Raj. Our river is the greatest. Everything that we do is the greatest. And he said, when I came and I first saw the Thames, I thought it is a small canal. And the very first question that I heard Prabhupada answer was from a disciple called Krishna Vesha. And she asked Prabhupada the question, does Krishna ever speak Bhagavad Gita on the hellish planets? And without missing a beat, Prabhupada said, this is a hellish planet. England is hellish. He said, every time I come here, it is cold, it is dark, and there is fog. He said, England is hellish. Krishna is. So with that, he just wiped out any pride we had in our nation. And so this pulling up, you such wonderful people, the British did so many things, and then pulling down, this is another, you never quite know what to expect. So, Prabhupada also gave a topical reference when I was there in 1977 to Mayapur. We had had, curiously enough, we had a drought in England in 1976. There was no rain for 2-3 months, which is a big thing for England. You know, we thought the end of the world had come. There's no rain in England. And so Prabhupada quoted from Samuel Taylor Coleridge, which was one of the poets that he studied when he was at Scottish Church's College. And Samuel Taylor College wrote something called The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, about someone who killed an albatross, which was really bad luck, and he had to wear the albatross. The albatross is the biggest bird at sea, 6 feet across like this. So you had to, see now I'm telling a story, I've got your attention. The albatross, and I'm giving a, you know, I'm showing you, this is the albatross. Now I have become albatross, like this. Now this is Nataka. I'm showing you by my activities. So he had to wear this albatross around his neck, but the ship was doomed. Anyway, Prabhupada learned this poem, and they ran out of water on board the ship, and although they were surrounded with water, they had no water to drink. And the very famous line in that poem is, water, water everywhere, nor e'er a drop to drink. So he said, this is Britain. So he quoted a British poet to highlight the situation in Britain, that Britain is surrounded by water, but they don't have a drop to drink. And immediately he just recalled something. And of course, all of us British who had gone to the front to hear what Prabhupada would say, he's talking about our country, and again, nothing. So then Prabhupada would often, he would use his voice. Sometimes he would use his voice like this, but then when he saw that everyone was not listening, then he would say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has spoken like this. Can you deny it? And everybody was still on the side. And then sometimes his voice would, that's called the empty pause. But that's as much part of the speaking technique as speaking. If you want to give your words extra meaning, when you've said something meaningful, stop. Don't say anything. Have eye contact with your audience. Look around. And people will think that you've said that just for them. And after the class, they will go away and he said that. It was just like he was speaking to me. He can see right through me. But there's a technique. It just so happens that Prabhupada could see right through us, but it's a technique. The other technique is to say something pleasing to the audience. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Prabhupada, to speak on his behalf because he was sick in a community of Brahmins, he had the express purpose of proving that a Vaishnava is always above a Brahmin from whatever caste the Vaishnava comes. And so, the very first thing was that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, although he was young, in the company of the Brahmins, he glorified the Brahmins. 20 verses, 30 verses, 40 verses. Just saying how wonderful is the Brahmin community. And when they came to the end of that, they were very pleased. Yes, this boy has understood. This boy has really understood scripture. And then he said, out of all the qualities of the Brahmins, these are the qualities that are most important for Brahmins. And then at the end, he said, and therefore, a Vaishnava is the best of all Brahmins. So they had to, this is called the Plato, it's called the, it's an ancient technique, but you get your audience agreeing with you, and then at the end, you say something that they don't agree with, but because they've nodded their head and said yes so many times. This is how Prabhupada Radhavandanishwara, he spoke to the man, the man said yes. He said something else, the man said yes. Spoke something else, the man said yes. He said, so now we will take the dealers. The man went, he wanted to say no, but he couldn't say no because he said yes three or four times. So when you say yes three or four times, it creates a positive mood within the body. So even the mind wants to say no, but the body is just still doing this. So here's Preacher Maharaj, and what has he said? He said some wonderful things over the past, you know. He said, let me just tell you the sweet things, and make your audience laugh. Make them laugh. If you can make them laugh, then they're on your side, so you tell a joke. So Prabhupada would tell stories, right in the middle of a Bhagavatam class, he would tell a story, which is just a Bengali joke. It's got nothing to do with Vedanta, nothing to do with Gita, nothing to do with Bhagavad Purana. It's just a Bengali joke, the Gopal Bhan. And he would tell his Gopal Bhan stories. And you know, the other thing that Prabhupada would do is he would, like I did the albatross, I've seen him do that. He did onomatopoeic sounds. Onomatopoeic sounds is where the word is the same as the sound that you're trying to create. And I watched Prabhupada do one. And he was telling this verse, Tarva Kimna Jivanti. That one? It's about... I've probably got the wrong one now. See, when you open your mouth to speak Sanskrit, make sure you've got the right verse. But it's in that section of verses, and it's about the bellows. Anyway, it says, the bellows are also breathing, and you're also breathing. You just have two bags inside your chest, just like bellows. That's all they are. But without the spirit soul, they're dead. So the bellows, I promise the prophet said, so the bellows, they are breathing. Om pyong, om pyong, om pyong. Everybody listening. The prophet was making the sound of bellows, and it sounds just like them. Om pyong, om pyong. And Prabhupada would do that. And Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, he said one time Prabhupada was imitating the sound of a dustbin lorry. A refuse collection lorry, waste lorry that was coming down. And he said it sounded just like it. It sounded just like it. So all these are different decorative techniques. But the main thing is, you've got to have something to say. That's what matters. You can have all these, it's like having the decoration of the cake. We've got to end it on time. You can have the decoration of the cake. But if you don't have the cake inside, then what's the point of that? So you've actually got to say something. And Prabhupada said the best of all speaking techniques is conviction. Are you convinced? He said if you're convinced about what you're saying, then the audience will be convinced. And if you're not convinced, then they won't. So he said, I'll say this from my other class, but... this is, I made some notes of what Preacher Maharaj said. He gave a wonderful speech. It's like President Obama, he was giving his speech, and he knew that the speech had to be an important speech, so he was decorating it in this way and decorating it in that way. Anyway, people give important speeches, and politicians really is a person who's paid to speak nicely, because the business of a politician is to speak in such a way that that he can convince another person to do something. But it's more of a kshatriya, it's more of a kshatriya skill. In the Mahabharata, it said that a kshatriya has a voice like warm butter. His voice is like warm butter, but his heart is like a razor blade. He wants to get something from you, and his voice is very sweet. But inside his heart is he wants your kingdom, he wants your property, or in the case of politicians, he wants your vote. So, this is a kshatriya. But a Brahmin, his heart is like soft butter. But sometimes his words are like a razor blade. So a Brahmin can give sometimes very, very sharp words, but his heart is like a razor blade. So this is the difference between a Brahmin and a kshatriya. Sorry?
Heart is like butter.
Yeah, his heart is like butter. What did I say?
You said
it.
You repeated the same thing.
I repeated the same thing. So his voice is like a razor blade, and his heart is like a soft butter. So sometimes he can be very sharp. Awesome. So in the assembly of Brahmins, especially if you live in a temple, or if you come to live in a temple for an extended period of time, don't expect everybody to... Not like that. Sometimes there will be sharpness of speech. Or as we say in England, a tongue lashing. Sometimes he will take his tongue lashing. But this is all part of the sweetness of Brahminical discourse. So here, we have Sanat Kumar. Because of Preetam Maharaj's speech, which comes from his sweet qualities, and of course he's not an ordinary kshatriya, he is a Vaishnava. So even a kshatriya who becomes a Vaishnava, he becomes the best Brahmin. So here we have a situation where he's speaking, the Kumaras have appeared. It's funny, whenever I look at Gadadhar, I think of the four Kumaras. We have our very own Kumara here in the community. And he's never got any older. All the time I've known him, he's never got any older. So here the four Kumaras, and they've come, and they've heard his speech, and they're just about to speak. And I'm just about to stop speaking. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments?
I think the observation in the comments was that you were saying different techniques. I think you wrote them because it came with us. This technique, the technique, the same most important technique of all is something which is not actually technique. It's the realization.
But if you don't have conviction, fake it. That's the technique. Have your finger like this. I'm absolutely 100% convinced. Before God comes here, if only they knew. That's when it becomes a technique. But the best then is to speak up to the limit of your conviction. Then you're convincing. And don't say anything which is beyond your level of conviction. Because the effect it will have on the speaker, on the audience, is just to do the reverse, actually. When you speak as if you're convinced, but you're not, the audience will go away and they won't. There's something not quite right. Mahatma Prabhu said, he said, sometimes you hear a class that sounds right, but it doesn't feel right.
understand more in a general sense, because many people then try to mislead people. They don't really say believe in what they're saying. Like, for example, you have these handles about Christian preachers who don't think, yeah, you know, and they group in the area. And then they... But then, but still they have many, many followers, like even worldwide, people who tune in TV shows and believe what they said, but even though they didn't believe in themselves.
Yeah. Actually, their conviction is they're very convinced about themselves. But that springs from ahankar. Very convinced about themselves. But you know, yes, and Prabhupada said that's more deceptive. He said when a preacher goes bad and deceives people, that's more deceptive. Prabhupada came to Manor one time, and he'd just come from Germany. And he said Germany had just had some problems with government. He said if an ordinary man does something wrong, nobody minds. But if someone who is meant to be a religious man does something wrong, he said it stands out. Everybody will talk about it. We have one man, it's just in the newspapers. Yesterday in England, there was one man who was not a Christian, but a spiritualist minister. Means he was a little psychic. And he had so many female followers, and he was a married man. But he'd had affairs with 10 women, sometimes 3 women at the same time. Because he was a very charming person, and he pretended that they were, that he could read their minds and everything like that. This is something. And when his wife confronted him and said, "I have found out about your affairs, sometimes 2, sometimes 3 women at the same time," he killed her. And then he, in order to cover his tracks, he left very loving messages on her mobile phone. So when the police took away his mobile phone, at first they thought that he was not guilty. And then afterwards the police said that this man is the greatest liar we've ever come across in our history. He's such an expert liar. Not only expert, but he has a strong determination to lie and deceive people. And from the beginning of his spiritual career through to the end, he's just been lying. He's been lying to women, he's been lying to men, he's been lying to people that trusted him. He lied to one person in order to get money from them. It's just lies. So when lies come from a person who's a minister, even, then it's worse. We expect more from such a person. And yes, in Kali Yuga, unfortunately, people, they want the truth. And sometimes only a few people are actually telling the truth, that there is a God, and you can actually know God, and understand God, and serve God, and love God. God is real. And when people hear that, the soul goes, aha, here's some water for me. I was thirsty, but now, so we jump. But the Bhagavatam says that such people are like jumping in a very small water. You jump in the water, you don't get a drink, but you hit your head on the rocks just underneath the couple of inches of water. So that's kind of you. Anyway, we can say more about these things after. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.